Welcome to Hot Off the Wire, a daily podcast that looks at the top news, business, sports, and entertainment stories as reported by the Associated Press. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor at the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now the latest headlines.
AP News, I'm Marcela Sanchez. Iran struck the U.S. embassy in Saudi Arabia's capital with a drone today. Iran and its allies have hit back against Israel, neighboring Gulf states, and targets critical to the world's oil and natural gas production. Meanwhile, Israel and the U.S. are targeting nuclear facilities and missile infrastructure. The AP's Haya Pinjwani has more.
Iranian state TV says strikes caused two explosions at a broadcasting facility in Tehran, but said no one was injured. Iran's ambassador to the International Atomic Energy Agency told reporters that airstrikes targeted the Natanz nuclear enrichment site on Sunday. Israel and the U.S. have not acknowledged strikes at the site, which the U.S. bombed in the 12-day war between Iran and Israel in June. Israel says it's targeting the leadership in nuclear infrastructure. Iran says that it has not enriched uranium since June, though it's maintained its right to do so and says its nuclear program is peaceful. I'm Haya Pinjwani.
Iran struck the U.S.-Saudi embassy early Tuesday as it keeps on hitting targets around the region while the U.S. and Israel pounded Iran with airstrikes in what President Donald Trump suggests is just the start of a relentless campaign. The attack from two drones on the Riyadh complex caused a limited fire and minor damage, according to the kingdom's defense ministry. The embassy is urging Americans to avoid the compound. It follows an attack on the U.S. embassy in Kuwait, which announced Tuesday it was now closed until further notice. The U.S. State Department also ordered the evacuation of non-emergency personnel and family in Kuwait, as well as Bahrain, Iraq, Qatar, Jordan, and the United Arab Emirates. I'm Charles Dilazasma.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says he's offered to help the United Arab Emirates protect itself against Iranian aerial attacks. On Sunday, British Prime Minister Keir Starmer said Ukrainian and British experts would work together to help Middle East countries shoot down Iranian drones. The conflict has also spread to Lebanon, where the Iranian-supported militant group Hezbollah fired missiles at Israel yesterday, prompting Israel to retaliate. The Israeli military says it's sent additional troops into southern Lebanon, while Lebanon's state-run national news agency says the Lebanese army was evacuating some of its positions along the border.
Airstrikes by the U.S. and Israel have killed over 780 people in Iran since the start of the war, the Iranian Red Crescent Society says. The group offered the toll in a message on X on Tuesday. Military escalation is forcing more families from their homes and hitting civilians hard, says Amy Pope, Director General of the International Organization on Migration. Pope's calling for the global community to press for de-escalation, adding that millions are already displaced in the region. However, the intensity of the attacks, the killing of Iran's supreme leader, and the lack of an apparent exit plan indicate the conflict would not end anytime soon. I'm Charles Dilazasma.
In other news, Minnesota has sued President Trump's administration in an attempt to stop it from withholding $243 million in Medicaid spending. The state warned it may have to cut health care for low-income families if the funding is held back. More information at apnews.com. I'm Marcela Sanchez. AP correspondent Ed Donahue reports on an emotional return to Nancy Guthrie's home by members of her family.
Today Show co-host Savannah Guthrie returned to her mother's home in Arizona. It was the first sighting at the house since 84-year-old Nancy Guthrie was reported missing a month ago. Video captured by News Nation shows the NBC anchor, her sister Annie Guthrie, and brother-in-law Tommaso Cioni walking arm-in-arm down the driveway and laying yellow flowers in a makeshift tribute. Nancy Guthrie was last seen at her home January 31st. Police believe she was taken against her will. Savannah Guthrie posted a photo of flowers at the tribute. We feel the love and prayers from our neighbors, from the Tucson community, and from around the country. She ended with a heart emoji and the words, "Please don't stop praying and hoping with us. Bring her home." I'm Ed Donahue.
And I'm Marcela Sanchez, AP News.
Tel Aviv residents held their morning prayers in an underground parking garage amid ongoing security tensions. Yeah. Some residents don't have access to shelters in their homes and have been sleeping in the city's underground parking lots. The U.S. and Israel continue to pound Iran after killing Supreme Leader Ayatollah Al-Khamenei on Saturday. Iran and its allies are striking back at Israel, Gulf states in the region, and targets tied to oil and gas production. I'm Haya Pinjwani.
Security Council is called to order.
First Lady Melania Trump presiding over the UN Security Council Monday, a session focused on one of her signature issues, children in conflict. But earlier in the day,
UNICEF said it is deeply concerned by reports of strikes in Iran and across the region, illustrating the grave danger for children.
UN spokesman Stefan Dujarric.
There are also reports of schools being struck in Iran, including a girls' school in Minab in southern Iran. Scores of students have reportedly been killed.
Melania Trump acknowledged the Security Council meeting was taking place in challenging times, but urged
to maintain security while upholding the responsibility of preventing conflict during times of both war and peace.
Adding,
peace does not need to be fragile.
I'm Ben Thomas.
After a classified briefing on Capitol Hill, Secretary of State Marco Rubio and House Speaker Mike Johnson were in accord as they described the objectives of the U.S. attack on Iran.
We knew that there was going to be an Israeli action. We knew that that would precipitate an attack against American forces. And we knew that if we didn't preemptively go after them before they launched those attacks, we would suffer higher casualties.
They would have immediately retaliated against U.S. personnel and assets.
Mark Warner, the top Democrat on the Senate Intelligence Committee, had a different take.
If we equate a threat to Israel as the equivalent of an imminent threat to the United States, then we are in uncharted territory.
U.S. Central Command says six Army soldiers were confirmed dead in a strike on a logistics unit in Kuwait. The U.S. military also says six pilots ejected safely after Kuwait mistakenly shot down three American F-15E Strike Eagles. Jennifer King, Washington.
What led up to President Trump's decision to strike Iran? As he left the White House Friday for Texas, the president noted indirect talks with Tehran.
No, I'm not happy with the way they're going.
But said there was no final decision on what to do next. About 3 hours later, aboard Air Force One, he relayed the go order down to Joint Chiefs Chairman Dan Kane.
The president directed, and I quote, Operation Epic Fury is approved. No aborts. Good luck.
From there, a massive military force made final preparations.
Across every domain, land, air, sea, cyber.
The attacks continue 2 days later, but for how long? The president says the initial thought was 4 to 5 weeks, but says the operation could go far longer. He tells the New York Post he's not ruling out putting American troops in Iran if necessary. The U.S. and Israel continue pounding Iran with strikes in a campaign President Trump says will likely take weeks. The president says the initial projection was 4 to 5 weeks.
But we have... capability to go far longer than that.
He says Iran's nuclear and missile programs pose a direct threat to the U.S.
This was our last best chance to strike what we're doing right now and eliminate the intolerable threats posed by this sick and sinister regime.
Iran has long threatened to drag the region into total war if attacked, including targeting Israel, Gulf Arab states, and the crude oil flow. All of those have come under attack, and the lack of an apparent exit plan for the U.S. and Israel sets the stage for a prolonged fight. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth is pushing back against concerns the strikes on Iran could spiral into a longer regional conflict. At the Pentagon,
this is not Iraq. This is not endless.
Instead, Hegseth says it's the opposite.
No stupid rules of engagement, no nation-building quagmire, no democracy-building exercise. No politically correct wars. We fight to win, and we don't waste time or lives.
Insisting this operation had a clear and decisive mission to destroy Iran's missile threat and navy. Asked if there are U.S. boots on the ground in Iran?
No, but we're not going to go into the exercise of what we will or will not do.
Hegseth spoke shortly after the military announced four Americans have died during the mission. The administration says it expects more casualties. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
Several international airlines are resuming a small number of flights from the UAE as war-driven airspace closures strand tens of thousands of travelers. Dubai officials are telling passengers to go to the airport only if contacted, because more than 80% of the flights remain canceled. Christy Elmer from New Hampshire was stuck there Sunday with her husband.
I feel fairly safe. The hotel's doing a really good job taking care of us. We're getting a lot of information, both from my company, but also the embassy.
Elmer's on a work trip for Boston Consulting Group and says the U.S. Embassy has been sending her text messages, keeping her updated. Meanwhile, foreign governments are urging their citizens to shelter in place while officials explore evacuation options. Global air travel chaos intensifying Monday as the U.S. and Israel continue bombarding Iran, which struck back at targets across the Mideast, leaving airports closed and stranding travelers overseas, stuck in hotels, on cruise ships, with little clarity on when hubs and airspace will reopen. Christy Elmer and her husband are from New Hampshire and stuck in Dubai.
So I have a flight booked Tuesday, a flight booked Wednesday, and a flight booked Thursday. And so just kind of playing it by ear. So yeah, at this point, no idea when we'll actually be able to leave.
Dubai Airport, one of the busiest in the world, suspending flights until at least Tuesday afternoon. One of Dubai International's concourses sustained what authorities called minor damage during an Iranian attack Sunday that left four people injured. I'm Julie Walker.
The White House is attributing a large red spot on President Trump's neck to a skin cream he is using.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump.
News photographers captured close-up images of the president's neck during a Medal of Honor ceremony in the East Room of the White House. His doctor, Sean Barbabella, says the president is using a very common cream on the right side of his neck, which is a preventative skin treatment, and will use it for 1 week. He says the redness is expected to last for a few weeks. The White House did not immediately respond to follow-up questions. The president's medical report from his physical almost a year ago noted he was taking mometasone cream as needed for an unspecified skin condition. Ed Donahue, Washington.
French President Emmanuel Macron says his country will allow temporary deployment of its nuclear-armed aircraft to allied countries as part of its new nuclear strategy. France is the only nuclear power in the EU. Macron also says he is increasing the numbers of warheads in its arsenal.
Le nombre de tête nucléaire de notre arsenal.
And that there would be no sharing of decision-making with any other nation regarding use. Macron's speech was aimed at spelling out how French nuclear weapons fit into Europe's security amid concerns raised on the continent by recurring tensions with President Trump. European leaders have voiced doubts about U.S. commitments to help defend Europe under the so-called nuclear umbrella, a policy to ensure allies would be protected by American nuclear forces in the event of a threat. I'm Julie Walker.
Austin Police Chief Lisa Davis identified two victims from the weekend shooting at Buford's backyard beer garden as 21-year-old Savith Deshawn and 19-year-old Ryder Harrington.
I cannot imagine the grief, pain, and loss these families are feeling today.
Harrington's fraternity brother said he was a second-year student at Texas Tech University. The FBI has said the mass shooting is being investigated as a potential act of terrorism, coming so soon after the U.S. and Israel launched an attack on Iran. The gunman, a 53-year-old originally from Senegal, wore clothes with an Iranian flag design and the words, "Property of Allah."
He was not previously on our radar.
Alex Duran is the acting special agent in charge of the FBI's San Antonio office.
We have massive amounts of both digital and physical evidence.
Duran said it's too soon to identify the motive.
Right, we want to make sure that we have our facts 100% correct, or as close to, or at least we've tracked down every possible lead that we can, because that's what we owe to the victims.
I'm Jennifer King.
Prosecutors say Dan Sohail intentionally drove his car into the Shabbat Lubavitch World Headquarters in New York five times on January 28th. He was arraigned Monday on federal charges of intentionally damaging religious property. Sohail wore a yarmulke with his jail uniform in court in Brooklyn, where he pled not guilty. His defense attorney told the judge the 36-year-old denies his actions were intentional, is converting to Judaism, and had visited the synagogue before. Sohail's family said he suffers from mental health issues. Several people close to him, including Shabbat rabbis, said Sohail did not seem to harbor any hatred hatred toward Jews. Julie Walker, New York.
In Cincinnati, Ohio, federal authorities have joined the search for suspects after a nightclub shooting that wounded 9 people. Shots rang out around 1 a.m. Sunday inside the Riverfront Live venue where Jermaine Tandy, also known as DJ Fresh, was holding his annual birthday party celebration. Interim Police Chief Adam Henney says about 500 to 600 people were in the nightclub. The shooting victims were taken to hospitals with non-life-threatening injuries. Mayor Aftab Pierval called it a dark moment for the community and thanked responders, saying the gun violence was unacceptable and that the perpetrators would be held accountable. The ATF Columbus is offering a $5,000 reward for information connected to identifying the suspects. I'm Jennifer King.
I'm Seth Soutell, and this is the AP Markets Report. Crude oil prices rose sharply on worries that war with Iran could clog the flow of crude, while stocks swung from sharp losses to small gains on Wall Street. The S&P 500 recouped an early loss Monday and finished with a gain of less than 0.1%. The Dow Jones Industrial Average slipped 73 points. That's about 0.1%. The Nasdaq Composite rose 0.4%. Airlines and cruise operators ended lower. United Airlines fell about 3%. Norwegian Cruise Lines fell more than 10%. Treasury yields rose in the bond market. Bond investors worried that higher energy prices could make inflation worse. The yield on the 10-year Treasury note climbed to 4.04%. Seth Soutell, New York.
After a near award season sweep by one medal after another, Sinners won Best Ensemble at the Screen Actors Guild's 32nd Actor Awards. That win sets up a potential nail-biter finale in 2 weeks at the Academy Awards. Michael B. Jordan won Best Male Actor.
Mom, thank you for driving me back and forth to New York when we didn't have enough money to go through the Holland Tunnel, when we were looking for gas money, parking spaces, you know what I'm saying? Well, I went up there for my auditions, thank you.
He upset the category favorite, Timothée Chalamet, and handed the 39-year-old Jordan the most significant prize of his acclaimed career. As expected, Jessie Buckley won Best Female Actor for her performance in Hamnet, audio courtesy of the 32nd Annual Actor Awards. I'm Haya Pinjwani.
AP Sports, I'm Gethin Coolball. Cameron Boozer scored 26 points and top-ranked Duke beat NC State 93-64 to secure the outright Atlantic Coast Conference regular season title.
A lot of our guys, like Coach said, won AC outright, so it's a big time for our team for sure.
Second-ranked Arizona beat number 6 Iowa State 73-57 to clinch the outright Big 12 title. NBA Bucks star Giannis Antetokounmpo returned from a right calf strain with 19 points and 11 rebounds in a 108-81 loss to the Celtics. U.S. women's hockey gold medal winning captain Hillary Knight revealed she played at the Olympics with a torn MCL. Giants ace Logan Webb will start the World Baseball Classic opener for Team USA against Brazil on Friday. And NFL, the Lions traded running back David Montgomery to the Texans for offensive lineman Juice Scruggs and 4th and 7th round picks. Lionel Messi, Cristiano Ronaldo, and Lewis Hamilton are among the sports stars whose schedules are in doubt because of the spreading war in the Middle East. Cancellations and travel shutdowns are already affecting events since the United States and Israel launched a wave of strikes on Iran on Saturday. Organizers of Formula One and major soccer games face deciding within weeks whether they can proceed as scheduled. Middle Eastern nations have become crucial to the world's sports landscapes as event hosts, financial backers, and employers for some of the world's top athletes. A judge has declared a mistrial in the case against former Miami football player Rashawn Jones, who faces a murder charge in the killing of teammate Brian Patta. Jurors could not reach a unanimous verdict, and Judge Christina Miranda ended the trial without a decision. Court hearings were scheduled to resume Tuesday. Prosecutors charged Jones with second-degree murder in 2021. Patta was shot outside his apartment in 2006, just hours after practice. He was a standout lineman with NFL hopes. Lawyers for Jones deny his involvement and have challenged the evidence. NBA player Luke Kornet has called on the Atlanta Hawks to cancel their upcoming collaboration with Magic City. The San Antonio Spurs center wrote Monday that allowing the March 16th event during the Hawks game against the Orlando Magic, quote, would reflect poorly on us as an NBA community, specifically in being complicit in the potential objectification and mistreatment of women in our society. Kornet says he and other NBA players were surprised by the team's decision to promote the adult Adult Entertainment Club. The Hawks announced the promotion last week. I'm Gethin Coolbaugh.
Pakistan's Information Minister Atullah Tara says Afghan ground forces have carried out ground assaults on Pakistani military positions at 16 locations along the southwestern border and fired on 25 locations in the border regions to the northwest, leaving over 60 members of the Afghan forces and one Pakistani soldier dead. There's been no immediate comment from Kabul on the Pakistani figures. Meanwhile, Stefan Dujarric, spokesman for the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, told the media on Monday he's concerned numbers of Afghans may want to exit Iran, where they are, because of the intensifying war.
The UN mission warns that on Afghanistan's western border with Iran, a potential increase in number of Afghan returnees is also anticipated, which will, as you can imagine, further stretch very scarce humanitarian supplies.
Pakistan's described its operation as an open war with Afghanistan, alarming the international community. The border areas remain a stronghold for militant organizations, including Al-Qaeda and the Islamic State group. Highways were jammed overnight and into the day with people fleeing after Israel launched its deadliest barrage of airstrikes in the south and on the capital in more than a year, striking hours after Hezbollah fired missiles across the border for the first time in more than a year. In a traffic snarl, driver Ali Hamdan says, "We've been on the road for 7 hours and we still have a way to go to Sidon. I don't know how long it will take us to reach Beirut." While Ahmad Shuma, a displaced South Lebanon resident, tells the AP, "I put my family in a car and my son and I followed in the second car. Then the jets struck and the resulting debris destroyed the car. My son and I narrowly survived. We were close to death. I was yelling for him and he was searching for me." Lebanon's health ministry is reporting dozens killed and many more wounded in the overnight strikes in the Beirut suburbs and southern Lebanon. I'm Charles Tiladesma.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.